Hey teammates, Jim Tressel here, and welcome to another episode of It's All About the Team. I'm excited today to have an extraordinary guest, Mike Peterson. Mike Peterson is a young man that embodies all of the things that we're talking about, that desire to be selfless, that intentional work to be selfless, that success is a journey and it's not just a one-time thing. And that person that really, above all else, wants to be a part of a team. It's not about him. He wants to have that culture with the people around him. He wants to have that culture at home. And so let me introduce to you our guest for this episode, Mr. Mike Peterson.
Coach Tressel, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Let me tell you about our guest, Mike Peterson.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And we're going to have some fun. So I've known Mike Peterson since he was a college football player at Youngstown State. I was very fortunate as a new head coach to have a veteran player, great player, as much as I hate to admit it, like Mike Peterson. And he was at a time, I felt, in his life where you could just see him just starting to feel who he was and what he wanted to be all about. And we were fortunate that he was a great leader on our team. He went on with the Miami Dolphins. Then he went into the, what team was that that you were on?
Frankfurt Galaxy.
Frankfurt Galaxy in NFL Europe or the International League or, right. or whatever. And then he decided at the end of his playing career, like all young people in college athletics, the end of their playing career comes at some point in time, that he was going to go and make a difference with his major of criminal justice and law enforcement. He went on to be a Canton policeman. And as his career went on, and we'll let him talk a little bit more about all the different steps. We talk about the journey of success, and there's sometimes when it goes the way you planned, and sometimes where you had no idea something was going to happen. We'll let him talk a little bit about his circuitous journey to becoming a business owner, to becoming the chairman of the board of trustees at Youngstown State University, to being a volunteer coach at his daughter's high school, coaching both women's lacrosse and men's football, and all of the various things. Some of the best stories I've heard Mike talk about are the mentoring that he's done with young people, whether it's on the streets of Canton or in various communities where he's worked. And so, ladies and gentlemen, please let me introduce to you to have a discussion about how do we build that selflessness. How do we build that culture of team? How do we go forward on our journey of success? Let me introduce to you Mike Peterson and fill in some of the gaps, Mike, that I didn't talk about sure. in that journey of your success.
Sure. Yeah. After I graduated college, tried to play football. As I like to tell people when I speak, I tell everyone to raise their hand, snap their fingers, and that was my NFL career. It was pretty quick. But love playing football, but I was very fortunate and blessed to have that piece of paper so I can go out and find another job. I started out working for the government in law enforcement as a police and criminal intelligence and vice and narcotics. Met my awesome Romanian wife who became an FBI agent. She was a prosecutor. Moved to Michigan, and that's when I got out of law enforcement and started in the private sector. Was fortunate to be blessed with some success there. Went on to be recruited by a Fortune 500 company as their director of compliance and ethics. And then by Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company for about 11 years as their director of global investigations. And then after that, decided we myself and my partner, Will Montgomery, business partner, had some opportunities in the business world. So we took a risk, started a company. We started when the recession was going on, so heard a lot of people tell us we're crazy, we're nuts, and shouldn't do it. But I'm a YSU Penguin, so you know, telling me I can't do something is probably not a good idea. So we've been very fortunate. Our first year, our revenue was $3,200, and we've grown to a multi-million dollar company and been very blessed. I have two awesome daughters and one amazing assistant coach, well, head coach. I'm the assistant coach, wife and Julie. So very fortunate.
Well, you know, I'm sure that the viewers, as they listen, they all fit into one of those different things that you've done. I mean, you think about a variety. I was a football coach and a president. That's right. About it. I didn't have quite as many
right.
different experiences. So I want to kind of go down the list of how can we build that selflessness and that culture of team and that, hey, it's all about the team.
Sure.
In each of those different arenas. So let's start as a student athlete. Because, you know, I'm sure there's some student athletes that can gain from having a chance to figure out how they can be better team members and how they can help their team become a better cohesive unit. As you think back to your playing days, knowing that the natural instincts sometimes are, you know, what I want,
right?
What I need the ball, give me the touches, I need the publicity. Talk through what you learned a little bit about the pluses and minuses that you saw being a part of a team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because in corporate America, we like to use the word team a lot, and we try to model it after sports, but there are some pieces that I think people miss. And so a great example of that is, you know, when I first started at YSU in football, I played a defensive tackle. And so my primary job was to keep blockers off the linebackers. And then those linebackers made the tackles. And those linebackers you'd hear about in the newspaper and, you know, see on TV, they'd get all the glory. But see, in football, it didn't matter, right? You didn't care who was getting the glory. You understood, you know, we were joking earlier about the Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal comment, right? When Shaquille said to Kobe, hey, your team thinks you need to pass the ball more. There is no I in team. And Kobe said, there is no I, but there's a me. Well, in team, there is a me. But it's a different way of looking at it. The way we look at me means I'm responsible. I have a job. And if I can get my job done and that linebacker makes the play, well, then we're going to be successful. So that meant that I had to sacrifice my body, sacrifice my play, sacrifice my stats, because it wasn't about me, right? And I learned early on, I always say that, you know, if you really want to know the mindset of what team looks like, all you have to do is look at the jersey, right? On the jersey is the number, which means you're one of many. On the jersey is the name of the school, it's who you represent. And on the jersey is your last name. So you always represent your family. But what's not on that jersey is the name Mike, because it's not about Michael. And I thought football did an awesome job of laying that foundation, which 30, 40 years from the day I suited up, I have the same mindset. And I my team will tell you, having a team attitude, mindset, and practicing, being deliberate, is a requirement.
You know, it's interesting. I was an offensive coach coming up as an assistant coach, and then I was a head coach for 25 years. And the best defensive coaches I was ever around, you know, the Mark D'Antonios of the world, right, the Jim Haycocks of the world, they did a great job of helping our young people understand about playing their responsibility. And that not only did you need to keep those blockers off the linebackers when you were a young defensive lineman and later became that fancy linebacker, but anyway, they also, if they were really going to be a good defense, needed to know what the other guy's responsibility was.
Yes.
And know why I needed to play my gap or play my zone or cover my man. And it was really interesting to me, the more they appreciated the role of the other person, knew that they needed to play their position,
right,
the better we were. And the game slowed down. I knew why I had to take the double team and just, you know, I'm going to get obliterated, but I know this guy's going to be free or whatever it happens to be. That, to me, was one of the greatest lessons of playing the game of football, is that, you know, the same thing is true when you go out into life.
Right.
Sometimes, right. You know, as a family member, we had a thing when I was growing up. My dad was a head coach in a Division III school, Baldwin Wallace, and we didn't have any money. And when the recruits would come to campus on a Saturday, my mom would cook a big vat of spaghetti. And the kids would come over after they'd tour the campus, and they'd get to eat some spaghetti. And every day, I'll never forget it, from the time I was little on up, my mom would always say, family hold back.
Mm, that's right.
Wait and see if the recruits get enough.
Right.
And then if there's anything left, you know, you get something to eat. And we used to hate it when the linemen would come to visit. We said, man, we're not going to get
nothing left. Right, right.
But we knew what our role was. Right. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the NFL or you're in NFL Europe. And you went through the years of trying to be that team member and play your responsibility and get everyone else to think that way. How was it different at that next level?
You know, it's interesting you asked me that question. I remember, you know, I tried out with the New York Giants, was released, get a call from the Dolphins, fly out, I go through a test. And so they're like, hey, we signed you up and signed a rookie contract. And when I go back, there are other rookies there. And there was a young man who was playing inside, outside linebacker. And he said, hey, Mike, let's go work out together. And we went to work out. And his whole purpose for working out was to put on the show, right? To say, look at me. And he's yelling and screaming and throwing, you know, pounds of weight. And I knew what he was doing, right? I wasn't used to that because I've always been around that team concept where it's more about lifting each other up, right? It's about serving each other, right? I want to make you better. And that was my first kind of indication of what that was going to be like. But it was a mixture. You had guys who were going to lift you up, were going to, you know, push you. And then you had guys that were always going to try to make you look bad. It just made me appreciate my team attitude that I had learned in college, right? And even learned from home. It really did make me appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You're playing in high school, and it's a game. It's the community. You're
right.
Representing the neighborhood. Whatever.
Love your brothers.
Yep. And then it's college. A little bit of the same, you know, and so forth. Maybe a little bit of that selfishness creeps in because I want to go to the NFL. I want to be seen,
right.
You know, whatever. Then you go to the NFL, and it becomes a business.
Right.
And so that's why I think this topic that we're discussing is so important, not just for athletic teams and so forth. It's even more difficult when it becomes a business and people's livelihoods than, you know, when we're back in I guess, a little bit of the innocent, you know, team concept. So now you move and you're going into the streets.
Right.
As a police officer.
Right.
Talk to me about the culture, the selflessness.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden, hitting's one thing in football.
Sure.
But it's a different game in the streets.
Sure. Listen, that was, in everything I've done in life, and football is a great example of this again, you got to have a purpose, right? I mean, I believe that. You have to have a purpose. When I got into law enforcement, that was my purpose, right? I grew up in an area where the police really didn't do much in our neighborhood, right? And so since I believe that Mrs. Johnson should be able to sit on her porch at 6 o'clock in the evening and enjoy the sunset, or kids should be able to go to a park and hang out and play, that was my purpose, right? And my purpose was also that, you know, not everyone you deal with in law enforcement is a bad person. Some are good people who make bad decisions. So it gave us the opportunity to live up that purpose, right? So my philosophy was, if I wasn't getting in something that day, if we weren't doing something, well, then we're not doing our job. It actually got to the point where my entire shift would say to me before we left, hey, Mike, what are we going to do today? Right. They knew we were going to go to the areas that were the hot spots. They knew this. They knew that we were going to address it. We were going to get out of our car and talk to the neighbors and maybe for a few minutes play football with the kids, or, you know, we've helped people move in furniture because that's the community. Right. You say protect and serve. But the definition of serve, we have to listen to that. Right. It means everything. So we did that. And then when there was a bad guy on the street, instead of driving by and saying, well, we didn't get a call, let it go, we addressed it. Now, here's the other part. Once you arrested that individual, and my guys who work with me would tell you this, you know, you had to go through a 30-minute sermon by me, right, of why you should change your life. But it was all about purpose, again. And you knew that it wasn't about you. I don't want to sound like a hero, but I never had a problem running towards danger. really. I believe that was Mrs. Johnson. She needed me to do that. That's her expectations. That's what I would want for someone to do for my mother and father. And then I would go back to saying the same thing. I had my badge, which was KNPD. I had my last name, and I never had my first name. It was never about me. And law enforcement is where you really get you get tested, because things are said, things are done, you have threats. So you really have to be committed to the cause, to the purpose, and to your brother and sister in blue at all costs.
And that's what I was going to ask you. So now you're dealing with, how do you create that culture of team on a force where you know you have to protect one another, and you know maybe someone's trying to become the captain, or, you know, all those kinds of things. Any examples you have or any thoughts you have as to how that's a little different than some of your other experiences?
It is different because you have a couple of components that you don't have in football. Well, you sort of do, but you not to this degree. In law enforcement, it's a dangerous job. I mean, every call you go to, there's a gun involved and you bring it. You know there are people that want to hurt you. So in law enforcement, you have some police who don't want to take that risk. So when you're going to a burglary call or a shooting call, they're not rushing to get there, right? And they're probably not going to back you up. That's a struggle. Then you have some who may not care as much in that neighborhood. So what I did is I found the men and women that they really wanted to go out and make a difference. And we would talk about it, right? Much like you do in football, right? You talk about your goal, what you want to do. We spent time joking and laughing and spent time getting to know each other's families and telling stories about things we have done or encountered and why we're doing the job, right? And that created that bond that come 4 o'clock when we're going out on the road, you know, I could have two or three cruisers that would say, let's go together, man. Let's go do what we need to do. I always love to tell this story. There was a gentleman who was later a chief, and this is so football-like, right? He and I get out of roll call, and he made a comment about me being in the zone. And let's just say we got a little heated, right? And let's just say people had to pull us apart. And so we...
What a surprise.
there were no referees there. So we broke up the fight. It wasn't a fight. Did I say fight? We broke up. And later that shift, I hear the radio call CANCOM, our radio folks, call him for a checkup. And he hits his emergency button, which in law enforcement is the 911 version. And if you hit that, everyone drops everything. So they're trying to reach him on the radio, and he won't respond. So I'm on the other side of town. And so I get on radio and said, hey, I'm en route. And I said, keep trying to reach him. And they wouldn't. And trust, I was in tears. Now, mind you, he and I just fought just a few hours ago. I was in tears because I couldn't get there quick enough, right? And when I got there, and we had to address this issue, when I got there, he said, Mike, when I heard you coming, I knew I was going to be okay. And I said, Bruce, I couldn't get there fast enough. Now, that's the kind of team attitude and brotherhood and sisterhood and love that you don't typically see out in corporate America, right? As just not to that level. And it was an awesome experience because it just reminded me that mindset is, in fact, the winning mindset. It really is.
Well, and you know, I don't know that all of our football players always didn't have some scuffles and so forth.
Sure.
But when it came down to game time,
that's right.
You know, that's what it's all about. Hey, teammates, I want to tell you about a project we're working on with Youngstown State University. One of the ways Ellen and I have decided to give back is through the Tressel Institute for Leadership and Teamwork. We've collected a set of successful business and nonprofit leaders to serve as guest servant leaders in partnership with the Sokolov Honors College to teach university students teamwork, leadership, and personal skills. We teach from a foundation built on gratitude, excellence, hope, love, and selflessness. If you're a young person or parent helping to search for a unique college experience, you can learn more at trestleinstitute.ysu.edu or ysu.edu. Links will be provided in the show notes. So in football and law enforcement, you were kind of assigned who you were with.
Correct.
Okay. Now you go out and you start building your own businesses.
Sure.
How did you decide what type of people who, how could you uncover whether they would be that selfless,
right,
that team-oriented, the person that would help your culture? How did you go about in the hiring of those people?
Sure. Well, let me tell you this. My very first big job, I met with our team on a Friday. I was going to start that following Monday. I met with the team on Friday, and we had breakfast.
And so now which company is this?
This is Goodyear. Goodyear Tire
with
Rubber
Goodyear,
Company.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So we met, and we had breakfast. And I said, hey, I just want to sit down, and I know there's a lot of questions. I want to tell you who I am. Now, this is a true story.
The other ones weren't true?
Well, no, I know this is going to sound very self-serving conversation.
But when you said
the other ones
weren't
true, yes.
I just wanted to make sure they were true. Okay.
I knew when I said that he was going to comment. Never has changed. So here's the deal. I said, there's no swearing on our team. And I used the word team. And they all looked at me and they were kind of confused. And I said, here's the worst swear word you can use is the word I. When you are talking about anything this team does, whether it's you've done an assessment, an investigation, it doesn't matter. It's always going to be we. That was the very first thing I laid. So when we started, I noticed that in our big room office, everyone had their own individual offices that surrounded it, and they would eat lunch on their own. And there would be very little engagement going on. It drove me nuts. I couldn't take it. So I had them clear out this room. I put a big conference table in, and I said, we're eating lunch here. We're going to eat lunch. We're going to talk business. We'll talk personal, but we're going to eat lunch together. And then when we started going out in the field doing work, we would go out in groups of twos or threes. Again, it was all about that team mindset and concept. We would always acknowledge when someone did good or did a wonderful job, did a great job, because it impacted the team. And I would tell these guys simply this: your individual effort is what impacts this team short term and long term. So how committed you are to doing what you need to do. And it just grew. And I will tell you, the best feeling that I have right now is when these folks call me and say, Mike, I remember when you started that whole process with driving this team mindset. I thought it was crazy. As a matter of fact, one guy said, hey, we're not a football team, right? But he ended up being one of the biggest fans of it. And when I left, he talked about how difficult it was, because at every turn, we were always getting together, always enriching our knowledge, always enriching that connection that we have with one another. And it was difficult, absolutely. But I had to show commitment as well, right? I had to be the I couldn't just say it and then not do it, right? And it was wonderful.
Well, you know, that constant reinforcement of it's all about the team is so important. You know, it's easy to come in the preseason meeting and say, okay, this is going to be about the team, and then we're never talking about it again. Or you to come in as you took over the department and said, hey, this is going to be a team thing. But my experience has been everything we do has got to pass the litmus test and got to have some messaging in there about here's why we're doing it, because of its impact on the team. It dawned on me when you were talking about when something good was happening, it reflected on what the whole group was doing. I remember when we started at YSU in 1986 and we started thinking about helmet awards. Mm. And I remember having a long meeting with the staff and talking about, well, you know, a lot of people did helmet awards. Well, if you scored two touchdowns or you made six tackles or a sack or whatever. And we came to the conclusion that that's not the message that we want for our helmet awards. That every single component to you being able to earn a helmet award was tied to a unit. And interestingly enough, for 15 years at Youngstown State and 10 years at Ohio State, if you looked on Buckeye leaves and you looked on the big Y's on the back of the Youngstown helmet, 95% of those could only be earned as a part of a unit, a defense, an offense, But the way you could get the most helmet awards was on the special units, because they were kind of forgotten. Right. You know, the punt team, the kickoff team, you know, and so forth. And but it's just a reminder to me that every day we have to talk about, it's all about the team.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. Now, you're at Goodyear and you're in your division. Now, you're at this mega corporation. There's mm-hmm. some viewers, I'm sure, that are at some big corporations and thinking, how the heck do you build a team
right.
in a big corporation? Anything you could share with the audience as to what you thought you effectively did at Goodyear in this sure. mammoth organization?
Sure. The first thing I would tell you is you have to be deliberate, right? There is no such thing. I don't believe you can organically grow a team. You have to be deliberate with it. We would constantly set our folks down, and they all had different responsibilities. And so we would sit and have this meeting, and they would talk about whatever projects or tasks they're working on. But the goal, and we would say, is listen, some of you may have some insight that they don't have, that I may not have, right? So the first thing we want you to do is to be able to share it.
Now, is that your division heads?
That's the entire team.
For the entire management team
right.
of the whole?
Exactly.
Okay.
All the management team.
Gotcha.
So the folks that handle our investigations, our global security assessments, our governmental regulatory tasks that we had to complete.
How about like the salespeople are there and the manufacturing people? Is it that big of a leadership group?
It wasn't salespeople, but okay. it was our manufacturing security team, those
okay.
guys.
Okay.
And so we would sit down and discuss what they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And then others would give input. So what that did for me is that drew a connection,
right?
Because what I would love is then to see, you know, Kim and Matt all of a sudden go off on their own and say, let's talk about this. Well, Kim doesn't do investigations, but she had a great suggestion. So Matt wanted her to go deeper on it. That was just a big part of it. And everything we did as a group. And I constantly drove the words team into our meetings. And it's hard to explain in some situations, but everyone knew that we were one unit. Now, there were times when we would fall apart and I would have to come back and have those meetings and say, hey, guys, understand something. This is no Michael's department or your department, right? This is our department. We've invested in this. This is your blood, sweat, and tears, right? So protect your brothers and sisters. Make sure we give them the output that they require to be successful. We owe that to each other. It was constant. They would get emails from me that were teamwork-oriented.
So did the whole corporation do that down from the top to all you divisions as well?
In some of those divisions,
mm-hmm.
they would, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, we were fortunate because we had a really good leader, a CEO, who was a big believer in that,
mm-hmm.
who talked about being able to consult with one another, right, and take on the talents that you have. I have a task, but you have a talent that I may not have, so I want to learn from it, right? And there was no threat. That was the other thing that I love. This wasn't about who achieved what and who got what acknowledgement. It just wasn't that at all. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, we struggled with some of it because at the end of the year, I had to do a performance review. And so they said, okay, I want to know, Mike, what you did. Well, here's the problem. I really can't tell you what I did because someone else helped me, right? So from the person who threw the trash away to the person who picked up the garbage can, they were just as equally as important. And that was not a slogan. That was not a motto. That was the way it was. And if it was any different, well, then we would have a problem, right? So we drove that.
We've been talking a lot about the various experiences you've been blessed to have, and you had a wonderful home.
Absolutely.
I knew your mom and dad
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And now you and Julie are great parents and so forth. But, you know, there's obviously a selfless part
right.
of parenting. There's good days in parenting and there's bad days. I remember I used to talk to my young coaches who had young children and they'd come in and say, oh, we didn't sleep last night. I'm
right.
tired and so forth. And I used to remind them, Little kids, little problems. Big kids, big problems.
Amen.
So just wait till your kids are in high school or college or out trying to make it. But share with our viewers a little bit about the team that Mom and Dad built home in Warren, and the team that Mike and Julie are trying to build in Jackson, Ohio.
Sure. You know, I can't answer that without first going back to where the team concept originated from. You know, a little bit in high school, a lot in college, and a lot at home, right? I will always remember my father when we wanted to go to work at this construction company that he wrote, AP O'Hara, and my dad said to us he wouldn't let us do it because he was afraid that if we made money, we wouldn't get our education. So he would always say, I dig ditches so you don't have to. Now, that's the ultimate, right, when it comes to serving. But the greatest thing about my life is I was smart enough to take the things that I learned, drink the Kool-Aid, and go back for seconds, right? So I literally, my girls will tell you, we are Team Peterson, right? That is the mindset. It's the mindset when they are playing. Like you said, I coach girls lacrosse and football. It's the mindset when we're on the field. As a matter of fact, they don't even call me dad on the field, right? They call me coach. Coach Peterson. But ironically, they still never listen to me. But you know, that mindset has always been. So if they're not, now, and they will tell you this, if there's a girl sitting by herself and she's isolated and alone, you better be going over there, right, and engaging her. I don't care whether she plays, you know, the entire game or she plays 30 seconds, right? It's a team member, both valued. They have that understanding, and it's awesome to see them in action, right? Because I think the other thing about being a team player is you got to have some level of compassion for your team. You know, we talk about love. People don't like to use that word, but football teams, right, the big, strong guys, they all use the word love. And they tell guys they love each other all the time. So it's been great watching my girls experience that and know that that came from a seed that was planted in me 50-something years ago, right? It's awesome. So it's been great.
You know, as I think about Lambert, your dad, and his tough love.
Yes.
Right? And I think, and I've watched you in action a little bit with Ava and Estelle, and there's some tough love occasionally. And it reminds me of a story. I was with one of our donors from Youngstown State University recently, and he was talking about this and that, and he had built a business, and his business failed, and he built a business. But all along, as he was raising his family, he was you know, tough on them and so forth, and his children are now older, and they're out in their own life and so forth. And you know what they got him for Christmas this year?
What?
A soapbox. And they had some fun with him, said, you know, Dad, I listened, you know, to those lessons you taught. You're always on that soapbox, and you said we had to earn it on our own and so forth. And that tough love. And sometimes I get concerned, are we doing a good enough job building teams at home? Because sometimes I sense that parents are trying to be friends.
Right.
And not be their coaches on that team. Because there are different stages of every team.
Absolutely.
You know, there's times when you're the player. There's times when you're the freshman.
Right.
There's times when you're the senior. There's times when you're the coach. But, you know, that's what I've probably appreciated the most about many of you guys that are our former players is I watch how they're coaching their families. And you know what? Intentional work on being selfless and being a part of a team is as important at home as it is at business. Hey, teammates, I just want to briefly interrupt one more time to give a shout out to a great local manufacturing company, Compco, as a sponsor for our journey. We aren't going to be helping them sell much of their product of steel tank heads on this podcast. They just believe in the mission of teamwork and intentional selflessness. I've known the Smith family since my coaching days at YSU. They've been a beacon in the Youngstown area, providing great jobs and supporting our community through youth programs and local nonprofits like the United Way. The Smith family have been instrumental in backing this project from the start. Thanks to the whole COMCO team for joining us, sight unseen, on this exciting venture. These are team-first people.
And let's be very clear, to be selfless, you know, I used to think humble was stepping back. That's what humble humility meant. Now I understand that's not what it means. It means it's just not about you. So when you talk about being a servant or selfless, I understand now as a dad, the decisions my father made, mother and father, I didn't realize how tough it was for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when my father told me, when I was mad because I was supposed to be starting at the North-South All-Star game, and I told my dad because they told me I wasn't going to start because they wanted this kid from Stark County, that I wasn't going to play. And my dad said to me, boy, you will be on the sideline and you will cheer that team on. And when you get in and you'll play. Right? Now, I didn't realize how difficult that was until my daughter came to me and was crying about, hey, dad, I should be playing on the development team. And guess what? I thought so. And I was coaching. Now, all I had to do was the easy way out. Hey, head coach, I think Ava should be there. But I didn't. I said, hey, Ave, if you want to play, you make it so they have no choice but to put you on the development team. 2 weeks later, she was on it. My point is, to be a servant, to be selfless, a true team player, sometimes you have to say and do things that are tough. So as a parent, I've had to tell my kids no when everyone else told their kids yes. But it's not about me, right? If it was about me, I'd tell her yes. I'd feel better, right? I felt terrible having to tell her about that. So to understand what that servant is, it's doing the right thing. It's doing the best thing. And it's not always going to be the easiest thing. And I've totally learned that it doesn't make you always feel great. I mean, in football, you're taking on a double team. You're getting beat up by two guys who are weighing 300 pounds apiece. That's a painful experience, right? But you do it because...
That's what
you
the
have
team
to.
Needs.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, and probably as I think back to my coaching as a parent, the mistakes I've made are the ones where I've rationalized in my mind, you know, I was gone 120 hours a week. You know, I'm never there for them. You know, I need to make up for it and you know, acquiesce and say, yeah, okay.
Right.
You know, when really we have to stay strong to giving and modeling and making those decisions so that when it's their turn,
right,
you know, and that's what I've loved watching our former players is that, you know, I just marvel at that knucklehead.
Right, right.
Is doing that
right,
good.
Right, right. Isn't that something?
You know, it's what, but you know what? No team more important than that team at home.
Well, listen, I look at it this way. My dad, at one point in my career, I was traveling 200 plus days a year. And like you, I was gone. And I have what I call Jewish Baptist Catholic guilt, okay? Can't get any worse than that, right? And so I would struggle when I came home. But my dad, he shared this with me. And I don't know why he was up visiting at our house, because I wish he wasn't at the time. I'm happy he was, but I wish he didn't because of what he said. You know, I just said, Pops, I'm just really struggling with this. And, you know, I'm going to do this for Ava and Estelle and Dad. He said, first of all, my dad, we all thought our name was Boy for 18, 20 years, right? So my dad said, boy, she doesn't need a 6'2 friend. She needs a parent, right? And that just shut me down. It made me realize my daughters, my kids are expecting me to do the right thing for the team. Even when they don't know it's the right thing for the team, they're expecting that. And I learned that lesson. And again, I am so blessed to have had the pillars in my life, or I call them the fence posts in my life, like yourself. You know, like I said, your message, I got your winner's manual the first year you came out when at Youngstown State with, you know, my team, right? Once again, we helped you refine that. I don't want to bring that up again. But, you know, but what a blessing it was. And what a blessing I hope for you to see that that impact many years ago has now gone to another generation.
Well, you know, and it really is, and it, just another reminder, when we say it's all about the team, it's about every member of the team.
That's right.
At every time. Mm-hmm. And that parenting time. You talk about a crucial member of the team involved in someone's life.
Right.
And, you know, we always talk about, on this table, it says, "Macte virtute," means increase your excellence in everything you do. We need to be better team members at work, at home, as parents, as friends.
That's right.
And, you know, that's the fun of talking about this topic, because it's all about the team.
That's right. And by the way, if you see a kid that doesn't have a team, volunteer to be a team, be
Amen.
A coach.
Amen.
Right?
All right, we have to talk about one more thing before this episode concludes, and we can summarize a little bit. But so student athlete, professional football player, public servant, working for a major corporation. Now you're out there as an entrepreneur starting your own company. Any tips, thoughts for the audience about how do you build a team from scratch?
Yeah, well, I think it's easier on one hand because I get to choose the players.
So how do you, as you're interviewing people, how do you know if they are willing, you know, we're all selfish.
Right.
But how do you know if they're willing to work on that desire to be selfless in team?
Well, one of my areas of expertise is interviewing and interrogation. So I put questions to people where I get more than a response. I get an answer. I also remember my first interview in a job where I was told that I was too young to apply for. It was for a special investigations unit. Most of the guys were in their 50s. They had run narcotics units, you know, homicide units. And I interviewed for the job. And I when they asked me, "Well, you have no experience. What do you bring?" And I told them, I said, "I have a team attitude. I believe that it's all about serving, sacrificing. I take my performance. I don't take the job personal. I take my performance personal. And I can't wait to come work here." Right? So he gave me the job. 6 months later, I asked him why he hired me. And he said, "I just wanted to see if you could do what you said you could do. You were passionate about it." I look for that, right, when people interview. I don't look for the canned response. I look for someone who is confident in themselves, but humble enough that they know they have to and will and are willing to learn. It makes it difficult to find the right people, because there are a lot of folks who are looking to stop working once they get a job, right? And in our world, I want someone that's going to be a go-getter, going to be a hard charger, but who is going to be humble enough to do it by putting themselves last, right? And so that's the challenge. You know, we've had some great hires, and then we've had some bad hires.
Sure.
And what I've learned over the years is, you know, you give people chances, but be careful hanging on to the bad hires, because they can contaminate the team.
I thought that was one of the most important things as a head football coach, was finding that staff.
Right.
And because I wanted to make sure that I got the right kind of people, I hoped they would know something about X's and O's and all that. But what to me was most important was that we had the right kind of people. And most of the time I ended up hiring assistant coaches who I had worked with because I really knew them. Because sometimes in the interview, I mean, people can become professional interviewers.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, and you don't really know.
Absolutely.
And I was very fortunate that at least maybe I hadn't worked on a day-to-day basis with them, but maybe I'd worked a youth camp with them, or, you know, you just learned a little bit about them. And, but that's so critical, is to try to figure out, especially when you're starting a business.
100%.
And then kind of going back to what we've been talking about in every one of the chapters of your life, and as rolling through my head, I'm thinking about the chapters of my life as I'm listening to the chapters of your life. It comes down to, we have to be intentional about trying to be as selfless as we can.
That's right.
Knowing, you know, I didn't sign a vow of poverty.
Right.
You know, I didn't turn down a raise.
Right.
But working as hard as we can be to be as selfless as we can be, and then in our group, working extremely hard to develop that team culture and have it not just be something we talked about, but something that we were.
Right. And I'll leave you with two things. We talk about servant leader, right? And I hate to give you compliments. You know this, right?
But be the first one.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right. But your leadership was such a way that you created servants, people that couldn't wait to serve. Trust, let me tell you, I couldn't wait to have a team to lead. Couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to put myself last, right? Couldn't wait to step back and push them forward or elevate them. That is the joy to me, the joy of being a servant, the joy of watching people excel and knowing that you had some sort of input, right? We had a young lady who worked for me, who worked the front desk, and she had a high school degree. Saw some awesome things in her. So we started promoting her. And in promoting her, though, we started challenging her. And it was, go back, you got to go back to school, right? She went back and got two bachelors. And then she went back and got her master's. And right now, she's in Quantico with the FBI as an FBI agent. Those things are exciting, but let's be very clear. Had I not understood what it meant to be a servant leader, right, a servant, then I don't know if I would have had that same impact, right? That's number one. Number two, when I think of how I've really impacted lives as a servant, I think back to my junior year in high school or college when we were playing Akron and we were winning 40-39. You remember that game?
I do.
You remember that game?
I do remember
that. I think
that game.
If I remember correctly, you said that game was the foundation that you built everything else on. Am I correct?
Well, it had to be because we were 1-9 going into the game, so we weren't doing that well.
Right. Okay. So to finish the story, right? It was 40-39.
Yep.
Akron was, I think they were undefeated, ranked.
No,
you've
embellished a little.
I know the story sounds better the way I say it.
They were about 8-2.
They were undefeated. I think ranked second in the nation. But anyway, and then they were driving downfield, and they were about to score. And then the quarterback drops back for a pass. And then I chase him. And he ends up, I don't know, 20, 25, 30-yard loss, whatever it was. And I sack the quarterback, take him out of field goal range. We win the game, right?
Yep.
And as you said, that was the foundation you built on.
No question.
No one tears you up. And so I realized that had I not made the sack to win the game, for you to build that foundation, no one here would even know who you are. So you can thank me again for being a servant. I appreciate that. You know, it's what I do.
I wasn't sure if you would end with that story or the story the next year where you made the sack that caused the fumble that allowed us to win the Ohio Valley Championship.
Yes.
And in the stats, they gave the statistic to
Paul Soltis.
Paul Soltis,
right.
And to this day, 40 years later, you're still a little salty.
I am a little salty about
that.
That's
not the team guy that I was hoping you were.
Well, we're not perfect.
We're not perfect. But we do have to intentionally work on being selfless.
There you go.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about the team. Looking forward to having you visit with us in another episode. My thanks to Mike Peterson.
Thanks for having me.
He's a team guy.